1 Corinthians chapter 3, look in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. So Paul says, look, he says, a time when you ought to be grown spiritually, he says, you've not been able to bear the meat, and neither are you now. He said, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So that neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. So we see that Paul put himself in a place of being nobody or nothing. You say, how do you say that? He said, I have planted and Apollos watered. You come down in verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. So Paul in that understood his position. Can I tell you that we are nothing? And without Christ, you really are nothing. But with Christ, I am somebody in him. But listen, friend, in my flesh, I am nobody this morning. Look in verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So there's no big eyes and little you. We're all doing the same job, serving the same master. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy it. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you again and that for this wonderful Lord's Day that you've given us to come and worship you today. Lord, I pray that you would help hearts here today, those that might be lost. I save them. I pray you bring them to a place of repentance and let them trust you to be their Savior this morning. Know that they'd have a home in heaven and peace and joy and just a quietness in their life that only you can give. And Lord, we pray this morning you'd help us. I help each one in here today in that to realize that our works are going to be tried one day of why we've done what we've done. And Lord, I pray everything that we do is to please you and honor you this morning, that you'd have the glory out of each of our lives this morning. Lord, again, we will tell you how much we love you. Thank you for Jesus who died for us. Come by and help us, anoint us afresh and touch us while we might preach your word this morning, and give us the unction from the Holy One. Now, Lord, again, we thank you for it all. Save that sinner's dearest hell for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Be seated this morning. As we look at the first part of the chapter, as we read it and kind of expounded a little bit on it, we see the carnality of the church at Corinth. That word carnal means pertaining and that to the flesh. Paul was feeding them with milk because they simply and that could not handle the meat, the meat of God's word. That's those things that are a little hard and that to chew. That's those things that are a little hard to digest sometimes. You know, not all the word of God is easy to take sometimes. Listen, sometimes you just got to come around and that to realize that the word of God is right and that you're going to have to make some changes in your life. You're going to have to grow and that spiritually. Can I tell you today that you are the one that hinders your spiritual growth. I am the one that hinders my spiritual growth in the Lord today. Let me say this today, that if these young'uns did not grow around here, we would assume correctly that there was something wrong with them. Listen, if somebody that gets saved does not begin to grow, and that in the Word of God, what did he say in the book of 1 Peter? He said, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may what? That you may grow thereby. So as we desire and take in the milk of God's Word, eventually as we grow and grow more in Christ Jesus the Lord, then we're able to take on more milk, and then we begin to take on the meat of God's Word. Some of those things that are hard to digest sometimes. But then we find that in the service of God, we are nothing. Listen, we serve Him simply because He saved us and He wants us to serve Him. Amen. I serve Him because I love Him this morning. Amen. I thank God for what He done for me at Calvary. And I just want to be a willing vessel and that for the work and that of God this morning. We find in verse 8 there is a reward for our labor. We work together. We work together with God in verse 9. But I want to look at what the Apostle Paul began to say in verse 10 as he talks about our foundation that is laid in Christ and the work that is upon that foundation. First of all, I'm glad that I'm standing upon a foundation. I have a foundation in that build upon the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. He said right here, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which He is Jesus Christ. A lot of folk are trying to build on other things. Listen, what's the old songwriter say? But all those others are just sinking sand. Matthew chapter 7 talks about the man who dig deep and build his house upon the rock, and the winds came, the flood came, and the rain beat upon it, and the Bible said, and that house did not fall because it was founded upon a rock. Then it talks about the man who built his house, and that upon the sand. It said the rain came, the floods came, the wind blew, and the Bible said that house fell because it was built upon the sand. Let me say today that there are folk that are trying to build their house on religion. They're trying to build their house on the denomination. They're trying to build their house without the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that thing will fall one day. Amen. It's going to come to pass that it'll fall. You and I need to be on a sure foundation. Then there's some that only has a foundation. You ever went through and seen where they're building the house and they start the foundation? There was a little place out there next to the house for a long time, and they went out and they dug out and they built the basement and they left and that the foundation and didn't build that house for a long time out on the highway. I don't know why they didn't do it, but all that stood there for a long time was a bunch of blocks. And weeds would grow up around it. I listened to weather, and that would get on the block. And weather it, there was nothing, never built on top of it. Hey, can I tell you today, you might be saved, but you've never to build on your foundation. Shame on you this morning. If you've never to build, if you've never started building up that on the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to look at what he said here when he talks about that every man's work shall be made manifest. Why is that? He said it would be revealed by fire. And he said the fire would try every man's work of what sort it is. And then he begins to talk about those that would last, that it would receive a reward, and those that do not last would be burned up. And he talks about and compares them to gold, silver, precious stones, and wood, hay, and stubble. You say, well, if I work for Christ, then that should be something that garners me and gains me a reward. Can I say this morning that if our motive is right in what we do, then it would. But if our motive is wrong, did you know that you can do something right the wrong way? You know that? You sure can. We're going to look at that this morning. I want to preach having a thought on what is our motive. What is our motive? That word motive simply means that which moves our will. That which incites us to action. You can have a good motive or a bad motive. You can have a right motive or a wrong motive. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, take your Bible. I'll show you this before we get started, and I'm going to preach. I want you to take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, most of you should know what 1 Corinthians 13 talks about. 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about charity. And Paul, as he begins to talk about charity in verse 1, if you were here, I think on a Wednesday night, maybe a couple of months ago, I looked at this in verse 3. But look in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbals. Have you ever seen anybody that could preach heaven down? I mean, yeah, they could preach heaven down, and it seems like though that that God has touched them, but yet you knew their personal life, and they lack charity. I've been that way, not necessarily. I'll be honest with you, I've probably been that way in my life. If you don't know the truth. Verse 2, not that I could preach heaven down, but lacking charity. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. Now look there, Paul said you could preach good, you could teach good, you could understand everything that the Bible had to say. He said you could have all faith in Christ Jesus the Lord so that you could move mountains. But he said if you have not charity, he said I am nothing. But look in verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, is that not charity? Would we not consider that charity today? Paul said, though I give all my goods to feed the poor, would we not call that charity? Would we not think that a man had his heart right, that if he give everything that he had to feed the poor and he gave his very body and that to be burned for the cause of Christ, and then Paul said this, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. What I'm trying to show you this morning is you can do right things for the wrong reasons. And you can do right things the wrong way sometimes. I want to look at that this morning if we could. Number one, first of all, talking about our motive, I believe, first of all, number one, we need to see the motive of Christ Jesus the Lord. John chapter 8 and verse 28, Jesus said this, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. I believe that everything that Christ done, everything before He left heaven, when He came to this earth and went back, I believe, friend, that He done it, and that to please the Heavenly Father. He said right here, He said, I do always those things that please Him. Hey, can I tell you today that I believe that when Christ Jesus the Lord and that left heaven, I believe He left because that was the plan that God the Father had, and that to save mankind and to please His Heavenly Father, Christ Jesus the Lord left glory to save us. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Hey, listen, when He was over in the garden of Gethsemane over there, and listen, in Matthew chapter 26, as He's praying, and He knows that He's headed to Calvary, what the writers say, that He set His face like a flint, and He was headed in that direction. And listen, the Bible said, and He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thy will. Listen, He was more concerned about the will of the Father and that for His life than He was concerned about His own will for His life. You say, well, Christ was afraid to face the death. I was reading a writer the other day about something else, and he came across that passage of Scripture. I don't think that it was death that Christ Jesus the Lord wanted to get away from. I don't believe that's what he was referring to. And when he was talking about this cup, I to pass from me, he wasn't talking about death. He was talking about bearing the sin of the whole world that ever been, that was, or that will ever be, was applied to Christ. I believe that's what he was talking about. I believe when he healed those that were sick, he pleased the Father. I believe that when he drove out the money changers out of the temple over there, he made that little scourge of a whip, went in and turned over those tables and drove them out and said, it is written that my Father's house is a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. I believe that pleased the Heavenly Father. When he rebuked the religious, it pleased the Heavenly Father. When he went to save those that were lost, it pleased the Heavenly Father. So as I look at Christ's life, he starts his ministry in Matthew chapter 3 and walks out there going to Bethabara over there where John is baptizing in the River Jordan. And Jesus is baptized. He is 30 years old, and as John brings him out and that dove descends and lands on him and stays on him, there is a voice heard from heaven that says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Heaven said that God was pleased with him. You find a time in Matthew chapter 17, I believe somewhere around verse 5, when they're coming down off the Mount of Transfiguration, a cloud has overshadowed them. And listen, what has taken place up there is that Jesus has stood and talked with Moses and talked with Elijah, and they were all transfigured. And by the way, let me park here for just a second and say, when Peter, James, and John saw Moses and Elijah, nobody had to tell them boys who they were. Now that just make your head spin for just a little bit. Makes you wonder, when you get over to glory, we'll know each other, won't we? Amen. Hey, we'll know those that's gone on and that before us. Listen, I hope you know you're going to heaven this morning. You need to know that. But listen, when he was coming back down off the Mount of Transfiguration and he stood up there and talked to Moses, and here's what the Bible said, that he talked to Moses and Elijah about his decease. He talked about going to Calvary. He talked about dying out of those men. I have no idea what they talked about. I don't know why he was standing there talking to Moses and Elijah. Moses represented the Lord. Elijah represented in that the prophets. I have no idea what they were discussing. But friend, when they come back down off that mountain and they were overshadowed in that cloud and it was Peter, James, and John, there was a voice heard from heaven that said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. So God said, I love my Son and I am pleased in him. So we find that Christ's motives was to please him, was to please the Heavenly Father. So I guess what I'm trying to get to, I won't guess, but what I'm trying to come to is that our motives should please the Heavenly Father. We find in the book of Philippians chapter 2, he said, let this mind be in you which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So we find that in our motives, I believe that humility should be found. Right? We shouldn't find spitefulness. Have you ever done anything out of spite? Because somebody aggravated you or made you mad? You ever done anything out of spite? That is a rhetorical question, but I want you to think, in all honesty, have I really ever done that? That little gray cat we have, she is spiteful. If you aggravate her, she wants to eat you up. Ain't that right? And my wife is spiteful to the little gray cat. Because when she wants to eat her up, my wife wants to hurt her. And that's how it works at our house. I better quit before I get a whooping, before we get out of here. But listen, spitefulness. You say, well, that's just even creating a wrong work. And I agree with that for sure. But listen, when there is humility in our heart and in our life, friend, we won't have the idea of I've got to get even with somebody. We would have a life of humility. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It was not only a mind of humbleness, and not only a mind of humility, but it was a mind of being a servant. You know, to be a servant, you have to put other people's will and other people's desires before you. It's hard to be a servant, ain't it? It's hard to be a servant. There's a gentleman I know that they'd set aside to be a deacon at a church, and so they were bringing him in to talk to him, and he's told me this story a couple times over the years, and he said when they brought me in, he said they set me down, and before they started talking to me, he said one of them old deacons that was sitting beside me said he pointed his finger at me and called me by name. And said, now listen, this is not a promotion. And he said, I looked at him and told him, I've never known anybody to be promoted to being a servant. He said, I like that answer. Listen, you know, to be a servant, you have to put everybody else in front of you. Jesus Christ right here in that put all the needs and that of folk who were dying in their sin. He put them and that in front of him and became a servant. Do you realize that he came and that to help those that needed help? He came to serve those that could not serve theirself. So he said, let this mind be in you. The mind that we should have would be where Paul tells Timothy over there for us to not only be a vessel, but to be a clean vessel of one to honor and not to dishonor. Our motives, why we do what we do. Let me give you an example this morning. It would be like me standing up here and preaching. And knowing that somebody has a sin or a problem, we'll use that word, or a fault in their life, and I've hammered on that thing and preached on that thing for the simple fact that I could say, boy, I told them. See, I won't use the word problem, but the issues that I have is sometimes I know what's going on. That is just fact being a pastor. Sometimes I know what's going on in your family. You say you didn't tell me. Sometimes you don't have to tell me. Do you know that I find out things about people in ways that you don't even have a clue about, and I wasn't even trying to find out when I found out? That's what's scary. Things begin to come out, and I stand up here, and then I have to make up my mind, is this what I say when I say it, or do I avoid it? Hey, there's been things that I have intentionally avoided out of this pulpit simply because to make sure that it wasn't me wanting to say it. But then there's been times that I didn't want to say it, and before I could get it stopped, it's already said. And I say, well, Lord, I guess you wanted it said, didn't you? What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that we have to put us out of the way that if we're going to serve Christ. He told me in Matthew chapter 5 over in verse 14 when he talks about being the salt of the earth, when he talks about being the light of the world, and he said, ye are the light of the world. And then he comes on down there and he tells them, he says, well, let's look at that in Matthew chapter 5. Go over there with me. Matthew chapter 5. Hope I'm making sense this morning. Matthew 5, Look in verse 13. You're the salt of the earth. Matthew 5 verse 13. You're the salt of the earth, but if salt lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. They said that's what they done. Their salt that they had come out of the salt sea, out of the Dead Sea. It's not like the salt that we had. Salt we have does not lose its savor, but the salt that they had would. And it had all other kinds of minerals and so on and so forth in it. And so when it would lose its tastiness, they would just throw it out where men walked at. And so that's kind of scary to see that me and you as Christians, if we're not careful, we could lose our saltiness upon this earth. Verse 14, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now watch what he says in verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. You see that? He said, let your light shine before men that they can see your good works. He said, let them see the work that you do. Let your light shine. Let them see what you're doing. But look why to do that and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's not to glorify us. It's not so that, friend, that we could get the glory out of. What was it that he said in Matthew chapter 6 when he was still on the Sermon on the Mount and he talks about giving alms? Alms is helping the poor. He said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. He said, don't be like the Pharisees. He said, they get out there and tell everybody what they're doing. He said, they have their reward. But he said, give in secret. And your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He said, when you go to pray, he said, don't be like the Pharisees that stand in the corner of the street and use them long and repetitious words, thinking that they'll be heard, for they have their reward. He said, but when you pray, pray in secret. And your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He talks about fasting. He said that the Pharisees would disfigure their face and being of a sad countenance so that men would know that they were fasting. He said, when you fast, he said, anoint thyself and appear not unto men to fast. He said, because they have their reward. But if you'll fast in secret, the Lord that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Our motive. Why do we do what we do? Why do we work? Why do I preach? Why do we sing? You ever seen folks sing? Get up to sing a good song, and you know. You say, well, you're being judgmental. I might be, but I knew what was going on. They were singing so that they could have the glory. I've seen it happen. I've seen men preach so that they could have the glory of what was done and what was said. Trying to grow this church, what's the motive? I look at my motives a lot of times of why I do things. You ever look at your motive? First you got to do something and have motive behind it, you see. Why do you sing? Why do you preach? Why do you live right? Can I tell you that you don't need to live right to please me? He said, well, you're going to preach on something that I'm doing. You should not live right to please me. It ain't never going to work. Ain't never going to work. You shouldn't live right to please anybody else but the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What have I told you many times? If you live for them, if you live for the Lord, if you live for the Lord, then it ought to please me. If you live for the Lord, it ought to please your mom and dad. Right? I know some kids that are so afraid to move that mom and dad's going to get mad. Hey, you ought to just live for the Lord. That's what will please them. Like I say now, if you ain't got no convictions, you need to get the convictions of mom and dad. If they've got good ones, and live by theirs till you get your own. When you teach Sunday school, why do you do it? See them young and saved, to see them grow. I asked myself the question in teaching Sunday school, how important is that class to me? How important is that class? How important is this church? Do I do it just for a job? Do I do it just for a paycheck? Or do I do it because I want to see you do right and help you and grow and have strength? Knowing that you're facing probably far more than what I face through the week. Knowing that when you go on the job that you've got to face men and women that are not saved. That you've got to face words that I don't have to face. So what's my motive? You go to the Old Testament and you find about King Saul. And every time King Saul done anything, he almost got it right. Almost. But everything he done, his motive was for himself. Was for himself. You look at David's motive, and yes, David messed up, and David done wrong, and he committed adultery, and he committed murder, and he had murder happen. But I think most of the time you find that David's motives were right. Because he loved God. We looked in Sunday school this morning, Brother Jeff did, and he talked about King Saul or King Solomon for just a minute. And he talked about those riches that King Solomon had. He didn't ask for them. King Solomon's motive in being king over Israel, the motive that he had was to be able to rule and judge those people right. God come to him in a dream. Don't believe in dreams. Right? Looking back. Right? We don't believe in dreams. Amen. That's a little inside joke there if you wasn't back there listening this morning. But God spoke to him and dealt with him in a dream. And he said, what is it that you'd have me do? And he said, I'm like a little child. I don't know how to go in. I don't know how to come out. I need to know how to judge between this so great a people. I need to know how to do this because you put me in charge. I don't need riches. I don't need women. I don't need things. I don't need stuff. I need to know how to. I need wisdom in how to do that. I believe Solomon's motive was right because God blessed it. So when we do anything for the Lord, where is our motive at? Why did we do it? Why did we witness? You say, well, I sure ain't going to witness unless God wants me to. You may not, but I know folk that listen, they carry a book with them. And they go out and they do believe in easy believism. They'll go out and they'll tell them, listen, if you want to go to heaven and you want to get saved, you repeat this prayer. And then they can mark it down. I know one church down in Florida, they proclaim to have over 1,000 converts a year, but yet that church runs 60 people. There's something wrong if you have 1,000 converts in 1 year and your church runs 60. I can do the math, man. You ought to be gaining a little bit, right? Motive. It all goes back to the desire of our heart in why we do what we do. So we find that as we're being tried at the judgment seat of Christ, then our motive is going to come to light. Why we done what we done. Whether it was gold, silver, and precious stones, or whether it was wood, hay, or stubble. He said every man's work shall be made manifest. So it's going to come to pass. It's going to come to light. One of the strangest scriptures. Take your Bible and go to the book of Acts chapter 16. This is one of the strangest scriptures. And it may not be strange to you, but it's always been strange to me. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. We find right here that they're under the direction, Paul is under the direction, and that of the Holy Spirit. Now when they had gone, now remember Luke's writing this here. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, now watch what your Bible says, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. I've always found that a very, very strange scripture. Why would the Holy Spirit forbid them from preaching the gospel, the word, in Asia? I don't know. I mean, I don't have an answer. I was listening to a preacher the other day. He was preaching out of 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And man, he lays it out there, talks about what casting means and what caring means and all the worries and all those things. And he comes down to the point and he says, now you ask me how to do that. And he says, I have no idea. I thought, man, one of the most honest preachers I've ever heard in my life. I read, and there's a lot of things that I can try to deduce and figure out why the Lord would not want them to go to Asia. Maybe God had them going somewhere else and he needed them to go and not go to Asia. But listen right here, what I'm trying to get to, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Paul could have said in his own mind, hey listen, I'm going to do something good. I'm going to preach the gospel to these people that need to hear it. But yet, they were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to do it. Is not preaching the gospel right? Sure it is. It's never wrong to preach the gospel. It's never wrong to tell folk about Jesus Christ. What was it Paul said at one time, when he was in jail, when he was in prison, he said, some are preaching Christ out of contention to make it harder on me. And he says, others are preaching Christ and that out of sincerity. And Paul said, whether it is out of contention or whether it is out of sincerity, he said, Christ be preached. He said, it didn't matter to him why he's being preached as long as he's being preached. But yet right here in verse 6, the Holy Ghost forbid them to go to Asia to preach. So Paul done what he was supposed to do. He followed the Lord. He said, well, that seems like a good thing to do. They need it over there in Asia. They need to hear the word. I'm not arguing that. I'm not arguing that didn't need to happen. I'm not arguing there wasn't sinners over there. But for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit did not want them to go. Can I tell you, our job as His people is to follow Him and to please Him. That's all it's about. Is pleasing Him. Pleasing Him. So let me ask you this morning before we have the invitation. Are you pleasing Him? Paul talks about it at one point. I believe it is. In the book of 1 Thessalonians. He talks about pleasing. How we are to walk and to please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I believe it is. He said, but as we are allowed of God be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God will try our hearts. Paul said, I do these things to please God. You just go over in the next chapter, in chapter 4 and verse 1, he said, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Hebrews chapter 11, when you go there and you read about Enoch, what was his testimony? What was it? For he had this testimony that he what? Pleased God. He walked with God. The Bible said that he walked with God and God took him. So when he walked with God, he lived for God, he served God, he had a motive that was to please the Lord, and the Bible said that he pleased God. So my question that I ask me and that I ask you is, why do we do what we do? So I preach because I'm a preacher. That's what I've been called to do. God puts something in a preacher to preach. He puts something in him. And it changes him to put preach in him. But it's what I preach And when I preach what I preach, that matters. The motive behind it. The motive. Let's bow our heads this morning. Brother Jeff, if you would, let's come get invitation this morning. I don't know your motive. Are you pleasing the Lord? I hope you are. Why do you do what you do for Christ? Why do you come to church on Sunday morning? I remember before I got saved, I was made to go. But you know, something happened to me after I got saved that I wanted to go. Something different. My motive changed. My motive changed because my heart changed. And that may be the issue this morning. It's a heart issue. It's a heart problem. I don't wake up on Monday morning and call preacher friends and say, man, I really told them. If I did, my motive's wrong. If I stand and brag about, boy, I done a good job Sunday in preaching. And there's been times that I thought I have done a good job. I'll tell you this story again. I remember some time back, it's been 4, 5, 6 years ago. Some of y'all might remember me doing this, but I remember standing back there and shaking hands on the way out, and everybody came through and said, boy, what a good job. Did a good job, preacher. Done a good job. And I made this statement. I said, well, even a blind hog can root out acorn. And I said that probably about 8 or 10 times to the people that come through. And while I was standing back there in the corner shaking hands, as there was a little break come through there of people, the Holy Spirit smote my heart. And he said, what does a blind hog rooting out of acorn have anything to do with me helping you? It's not for my glory, but it's for his glory. It's for us to realize that everything we do is for him. And it should be for him. If you're not saved this morning, I encourage you to come and get saved. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know that he came to please the Father, but he came to save you. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning asking you to help during this invitation. You know folks' needs. Lord, I've preached what you've given me. And Lord, I really believe it's the right message for the hour. And Lord, I pray that if there's some motives in our heart that ain't right, I pray that we'll work on that, that you'll point them out and we'll work on it. And Lord, draw close to you. Would you just help this morning, this invitation? Maybe somebody that's lost. And I pray that you'd help them get saved. For these things in Jesus' name, amen.